Good evening once again from the Hutton Orbital News Studio. I'm Rudolf Hucker, and I'll be your compere for this evening. All the usual voices will be here, along with some special guests.
I'm Willie B. Hardigan, and I'm a stunt performer from Team Hotbox.
As usual, I'm Harry Balzac.
Wilma here, ready for action.
Apology officer on standby.
Norma Stuckers, cleared for broadcast.
And I'm Lou, and I'm here because Norma told me I had to. I was hoping Kinrain could come back this week, but no such luck.
And now, on with the news. They've got more ginger nuts than a Scottish nudist camp, but workers refuse to hobnob.
Young Mr. Noctivegas thinks we're all done very well.
King Hanky forgets how the disappearing trick is supposed to work.
It's new news news.
There's many a good fiddle played on an old tune.
Pilots Federation denies that new update falls flat.
All the community news that's fit to print, and much that isn't.
And I've got a bit of an update from Hutton Space. Not that anyone cares.
Fear stalks the corridors of Dunker's Rest this evening. The members of EDS 38 are gathered round the hitherto silent Galnet news speaker as they anxiously await the tidings that they've been dreading from Burton's Progress. Will the supply of their favourite biscuit dry up? Will they need to rename their station? And if so, who's going to have to break the news to Ed? Burton's Progress in the Murugini system is where the exceedingly good Dr. Arkanen turns Thargoid resin jam into Thargoid resin jam biscuits, otherwise known as dodgy jammers. But all is not well in this factory where they also make the wheels for our space wagons, though we swear they've got smaller since we were younger. Canon Research apparently made a derisory offer for the hazard pay demanded by the factory workers for handling the dangerous slime that is Thargoid resin, which is supplied direct to the factory in its natural state by the Anti-Xeno Initiative, AXI, often by just scraping it from the outside of their ship and letting it fall to the floor of the hangar. Raw Thargoid resin is highly corrosive and must go through 17 separate chemical, biological, and psychological processes, some of which involve elements with a half-life shorter than that of a bottle of Centauri Megagin after Cecil's walked across the Gobi Desert, all before becoming tasty, though still a little spicy, in the same way that a Carolina Reaper may cause you a little intentional discomfort if you eat a whole one. The treat that is the dodgy jammer, the perfect biscuit for dunking, as it's your cup that dissolves, not the biscuit. Talks with the unions are ongoing, and given that the same factory produces many different chocolate biscuits for the galaxy, management are encouraged by talk that they'll soon be given the finger.
The long-retired Major General Noctivegas made a surprise inspection visit to Hutton Orbital last weekend. Donning his trademark Hutton-badged uniform, we're glad that it still fits him after all this time, with only a hint of his new life of leisure being a pair of carpet slippers in place of his normal high-gloss Tharwy-kicking boots. The Major General has taken on a tour of our facilities by an attendant team of security-trained Momus Bob Spaniels, availed himself of the victuals available in the mess hall and declared everything aboard the station to be all ship-shape and Hutton fashion. At least we assume that's what he said. Ship. He was facing away from us as he said it. He exchanged his vibrant Corvette for a more personal mode of transport, going with the range-limited but sleeker iEagle, powered by the latest environmentally economical clean drives. A cursory examination of the most recent hot pit reports was met with a raised eyebrow and a quizzical, "How many systems?" I thought Alvin didn't like expansion. along with some tasty apologies from the team for their rather overeager influence boosting over the year. Hasty rather than tasty. Don't make me come back here and sort it myself, with his parting shot as he marched smartly back to his landing pad, and from there to a waiting fleet carrier, which will be escorting him to Colonia for a quick inspection of Fort Mugg and Dunker's Rest over in Dunbinale, to ensure that Sinbad the Bad's rather bad smell has been removed from the area. He might be retired, but as we say, once a trucker, always a trucker, and this utter trucker's a trucker through and through.
The sound of beeping echoed through deep space a few days ago, as King Hanky, or at least one of his clones, auditioned and won the part of the Big Reversky in the latest film of Hutton's most hilarious facepalms broadcast this week. The Hanky clone, with the crew entirely populated by DNA replicas, was heading for Colonia to drop a number of them back to Fort Mugg to help refurbish the kitchen facilities with new hand-washing equipment, when a passing area of interest caught his attention. And confident that he could catch up to the speed-jumping carrier, popped out for a quick one. As the carrier left, and on completion of his quick tour of the system, the Hanko clone fired up his frameshift drive and made the first jump on his catch-up race with the giant mobile landing pad and refuel station. At the next system, his shipboard fuck-up avoidance system flashed up a warning. Unable to fuel scoop, no suitable equipment is fitted to this vessel. At which point, the Hanky performed a facepalm and sent a message on ahead to the carrier, which promptly pulled the big lever from there to back again and went into reverse. "Caution! This carrier is reversing. Please stand clear," echoed throughout the ship, shortly followed by 500 light-years of beep, 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 as the pilot executed a flight school-proved perfect reverse manoeuvre to go and pick up the stranded clone. The hapless pilot rescued, the carrier continued on its route and is reported to have safely reached orbit of Hutton Moon, where the guilty party has been sent for remedial lessons in things not to forget when you lift off. He is said to have made an extensive list, including bog roll in his in-flight snacks, clothes, hand wipes, and of course, all the equipment needed to actually fly around in space without having to push the emergency button.
In a startling turn of events, it appears that the Galaxy's entire cohort of news reporters have managed to escape from captivity in the last 24 hours and have returned to active duty. Yes, the Galnet reporting team, along with their local representatives in the Galnet audio department, Galbook, Galtwit, the Community Girl publishing company and lesser-known salt-raking publication, Read That, have appeared at their desks. With Galnet used articles having been missed the last 93 days and Community Girls having been absent for 9 months, it appears that during the lockdown some unholy procreation has been taking place. And yes, they've had a baby. A digital one. Complete with shocking headlines, exclamation marks and commentary from dodgy bias sources. Rumours that they've been held hostage, not by Hudson of the Federation, long-time opponent of what he styles as fake news, and the truth, appear to have been unfounded, as their return to active service has accompanied reports that a number of stations in Imperial space have come under attack and suffered significant damage. Did they break out from these locations? Is it just the Imperial news machine ensuring that someone remembers old blue hair once again in a time of waning interest in the galactic powers? Is there something else afoot? Early reports attributing to attacks to Thargoids appear to have been unfounded, with a terrorist group claiming responsibility for the attacks. However, pilots on this scene are reporting Xenu attack-like deposits on the outside of stations. There are many unknowns at this stage. Have the parties who have claimed responsibility managed to weaponize shipments of Cannon Brand sticky biscuits, complete with their Thargoid source GUI centers? Did they hide their explosive storage racks in Thargoid parts that were due to be used for research purposes? Local security chiefs are considering whether there's enough evidence of assault with a dangerous alien to press charges. Canon and Interstellar are already on the scene conducting tests as to whether the subversion of the Eagle Eye network was a source of the damage. When asked to comment on the potential link between the new Canon biscuits and the space goo seen at stations, LCU No Fool Light 1 was reported to say, "Our products are subject to availability. Choking hazard. May cause hull breach if improperly stored. Not recommended for human consumption. May result in hyperspace conduit instability and thargoid attacks. Canon Interstellar accepts no liability for any loss, damage from storing or consuming this product." And thank goodness it wasn't the shipment of Nosisavian cheese. Can you imagine a cocky cheese explosion of that magnitude? I'm off to find some tinfoil before all this gets out of hand. We'd like to reassure commanders that when we say Greedo's had an explosion and Greedo's ring is on fire, we're not talking about Greedo, we're talking about Greedo Market, not the Pilots Federation communication team member who is just fine and definitely not covered in green goo or not suffering intestinal distress. Whatever the situation, our very own Galnet News dietitian, Commander Wotherspoon, will be returning with a special Galnet News digest later in this show. In a coincidental but unconnected report, we're happy to announce that Commander Fossey's contract with the Initiative and Interstellar Initiative community team has been extended for another 15 months, and she's been asked to bring her earworms out of retirement immediately. It sounds like it's all kicking off, but we'll get to the bottom of it as fast as we can.
There are reports coming in that the dastardly Don has been beavering away in his foundry again, unleashed yet more terrifying experiences on the galaxy. Not content with his gene-spliced dinosaurs, his dangerous menagerie of creatures from old Earth, a torture planet where he straps people to machines and makes them scream until they're sick, his Lemmiscate Luke's 25-second eternal torture chamber of Groundhog Days, and, of course, his bizarre struggling vivisection experiments, he's taken something out of a museum, blown the dust off it, and like a dodgy Galbe knockoff, is flogging second-hand goods as new. Yes, he's come up with his own ranking system for pilots loyal to him, changing their rank titles from Mostly Mafia and Concrete Boot Pourer to Roller Coaster Entrepreneur and Ride Operator. At the moment, other than his own uniform being adorned with Supervisor Elite, the highest rank afforded to any of his minions has been that of Roller Coaster Tycoon. His thinly veiled attempts at legitimising his operations under the banner of a day of fun for all the family won't pull the wool over Hutton Eyes. We know that the rides that he bought from years ago were massively popular, and yes, the log flume has enough chlorine in it both to kill any germs and strip the outer layer off your eyeballs, but we're suspicious of his motives. If, of course, he's turned over a new leaf and has rediscovered his sense of adventure, then we, of course, apologise. Actually, the ghost train looks quite fun.
The Pilots Federation have released more information on the forthcoming licensing that will allow commanders to make landings on planets with tenuous atmospheres from early next year. They've had one eye on the two eyes that is the binocular vision that is critical to nailing that perfect landing in search of new biological entities. Yes, you'll be able to not only have your head in the clouds, safe in the cockpit of your ship, but be able to look at clouds from both sides now as you drive around these newly accessible planets in your Scarab. They've stated that due to the manufacturing process for the Remlock Survival Helmet, they'll be using an automatic visor blanking system that will project a view from around the commander onto the screen in front of their eyes. To ensure high survival rates in toxic and corrosive atmospheres, these Elite Feet helmets will be using the latest in protective face protection. They have reassured us that they're working hard on making translucent covers for them in the future, allowing you to set your own two eyes on the wonders of atmospheric planets. But for the time being, the safest option is the wearable camera. The commander community appears to be on cloud nine over this announcement, as there were concerns that shipboard visibility would be reduced and ships revert to the cockpit stars from the Age of Jameson. with commanders only able to experience the outside environment through a computer-generated screen. Yet more salt avoidance measures were deployed in the same bulletin when, despite areas outside your cockpit being inaccessible for the near future, as a prevention measure to stop you smashing into things and when leaving your seat to go make a pot noodle, both planetary and space-based bases are likely to be able to be explored on foot early next year as well.
Here is the roundup of what the community has been doing over the last week. In light of today's news, next week's edition is likely to be even more interesting, so don't forget to keep us up to date with what you're doing, whether it's helping to supply or repair stations, or an event you've organised yourselves. Firstly, we have the results of the competition that Canon Research started to create a video commemorating some aspect of the Gnosis, Canon's research ship that is having its laboratories mothballed and is being set to work as a tour bus, given that fleet carriers can go further and faster. More than five entries were received by the prize committee, and they varied in length from just over 1 minute to just over 35. We are assured that all the videos were watched, but we do note the absence of the phrase "in their entirety." We leave any judgment up to the listener. We at Hutton Orbital would like to offer our reassurance that no bribery was involved in the selection of the top video makers, as our own Commander Wotherspoon and our dear friend, ridiculously talented artist Commander Beetlejude, partly because the judging panel are notoriously incorruptible, but mostly because we're broke. Now for the real men, other genders are available, race in Lederhosen race report. This was an event in search of and driven by beer. To help prevent the system of Bavariga from running out of beer, this affair was organised to collect real beer and deliver it by heading towards the sounds of outposts full of parched throats. That's real beer, namely Gerasian Girls Beer from Yuvchikin Port in Geraz, Conga Ale from Laplace Ring in Conga, Buckyball Beer Mats from Rebuy Prospect in Fullerene C60, Kachirigan Filter Leeches from Nowak Orbital in Kachirigan, HR7221 Wheat from Veron City in HR7221, and Wuthiolo Koo Froth from Tartadoc in Wuthiolo Koo. Beer intended for a more refined palate, such as we don't have here at Hutton. This was an event where the closer you got to the time you'd previously estimated for a run, the higher you scored. There were several classes that could be entered, pending on the ship's configuration, and to cut a long story short, Commander NW Spacek mopped the floor with the competition, winning every class except one, and that was Space Taxi, where there were too few entries for a winner to be declared. The notable part of this whole endeavour, that it's one, at least, that was not won by Commander Shay Blackwood. And now it's the turn of the Dark Wheel. See what I did there? They have just both expanded out of HR 4979 into a new system, Tur de Tani, just 19 light years from Lave, and have initiated their war for control over LTT 5455. They predict that they will sweep both wars simultaneously 4-0 and will then start their process to expand from LTT 5455 to their secret target system from which to test Sol. They expect to have a definitive answer on that by Halloween. There are six factions in the system, and their attitude is, if nobody else is able to get in, then who is that seventh slot for? Regardless of the outcome of Phase 1, Sol, they are going to push hard to LFT 509, Phase 2, and Lave, which is Phase 3, which will probably happen next by virtue of expediency. Here's early notice of the regular mug meet at Hutton Orbital organised by Malice XR3 on Friday the 18th of September from 2100 BST. The commander writes, It's a new month, so with that comes another mug meet, though this one is slightly different to the usual. Yumi, the illustrious and occasionally short-tempered flight control officer of the FTM Alvin's Paw, has decreed that we need to have a clear out of the Paw's inventory, so this means a couple of things. Firstly, the one-to-one scale tower defence games in the storage bays will cease. Secondly, I might get my quarters back. A mattress made of cargo crates isn't the most comfortable. But most importantly, gives a window for both some profit and to introduce those Imperial types to the benefits of mug ownership and Alvin's fluffy leadership. To that end, we'll be heading up to the Imperial-owned system of Pandemonium, apt name especially where Hot Boss is concerned, to empty the paw, spread the Hutton word and make a few credits into the mix. Hope to see you there and for the mug. That's all the news we have for what the community has organised, but Flossie will be along later to give us the exciting details of today's updates from the Pilots Federation.
Well, me, last on the list. How come when it's Norma going last, it feels like the climax we've been building up to, that the listener's been waiting for with increasing excitement? But when I do it, it feels like the encore that no one wanted, playing to a crowd who are leaving as rapidly as possible. Anyway, you all know about the numbers, you all know what to do about them, and you can look on hot.forthemug.com for details, so there's no point rattling on about them. The important bits are the calls to action, and first, and least exciting, we have an election in tier again. So, if you care about the never-ending election cooldown election cycle of our least important system, you know what to do. Next, we have a pirate attack in LP245-10. Now, those don't tend to last long, so if you want to smash the Don's dastardly minions, over there sharpish and deploy those hardpoints. For the profiteers and philanthropists alike, we have an outbreak in Epsilon Indy. There's profit to be made shipping meds in and selling them at exorbitant prices, and plenty of missions for helping the citizens. If you need additional assistance, I suggest asking the Boop Brigade, who are based out of Z, as they were shipping hundreds of tons of bio-waste into the system, which has contributed to the outbreak. Psyche, if you're listening, I told you this would happen. Finally, we have infrastructure failure in WISE 0855-0714. I've not had time to contact the fleet carriers, but I'm sure they're en route with the required commodities, so start trucking food and machinery deliveries to speed up repairs. Over to the closing ident, I guess.